This is KCBX Central Coast Public Radio here on NPR One. Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway.
Good morning, Tom. My name is Scott Suddeth. I'm the Vice President of Tourism for the North Little Rock Convention Visitors Bureau.
It's very fascinating to me, North Little Rock. In many respects, it's one big Little Rock. And the only thing that separates you two is a river right through the heart of town.
Yeah, that is confusing for a lot of folks because in Little Rock, we have a West Little Rock, we have a Southwest Little Rock. So why shouldn't North Little Rock be a part of Little Rock,
right?
Just the north part? But we are two completely separate, different cities.
But you're your own legal city with your own...
Yeah, you got it. Yep.
Interesting. But from the outside, as a tourist, it glues all together.
It does. And that's part of our challenge as a CVB is to create our differences, which we already have those, and to project those to the rest of the country that, yes, North Little Rock is a very unique, laid-back, quirky community that has its own personality, has its own characteristics from across the river. We're on the north side of the river, but yes, people do get confused that we're all the same city.
Mm-hmm. And going back in the day, people on the other side of the river liked teasing you guys, and they had a derogatory term for you. That was Dogtown.
Yeah, the story of Dogtown is very interesting. I like to think of us in this country as the original Dogtown. But back in the 1800s, North Little Rock was actually named Argenta because when DeSoto came up the river in 1540, they thought there was silver in the hills here in North Little Rock, and which there actually was not. But they named it Argenta, and that's Latin, that's silver in Latin. So our side of the town had all the railroad tracks, so it had, you know, a very disdainful reputation, and a lot of shenanigans and things went on this side. And so back in the late 1800s, the Little Rock folks decided, well, we're just going to try to annex Argenta into Little Rock and make it one city, and we can probably put controls on this stuff. And so they went to the legislature and one of those midnight deals, I think, and got it annexed into Little Rock. Well, this made the folks in Argenta furious. So what did they do? They went to the legislature and did one of those midnight deals, and they got it put back to Argenta. Well, this really infuriated Little Rock. So they would shoe all their dogs over on this side of the river. Now, if you go back to the 1800s, the Arkansas River isn't what the river it is today with locks and dams and everything. Mm-hmm. You could actually cross it. You could actually walk across it, and sometimes it was dry. So they would walk their dogs and shoe them over here.
And just to dump the strays.
Yeah, dump the strays and kind of like nanny nanny boo boo, you know, type thing. So they would dump their strays over here. Of course, the North Little Rock folks took them in, and they loved them and kept them. But that name, Dogtown, always had a less than, a disdain. If you're from Dogtown, you are lesser than or whatever. And especially when the football teams played, you know, the Little Rock team against the North Little Rock team, people were made fun of for, you know, being on the north side of the river and blah, 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 blah. So in 1965, the mayor said, we are done with being called Dogtown. We're not going to have this stuff anymore. So they created Tombstone. Here lies Dogtown, never more to be erected. And we still have that tombstone today. And they actually dug a grave on Main Street. They put a tombstone up on Main Street. All the city fathers gather around it. They lowered the casket, buried it. And here, that's done. Well, the very next day, they woke up and the tombstone was gone. And the casket was dug up, taken off, and no doubt, probably, this was another infuriating thing probably happened to them, maybe from the south side of the river. 15 years later, we found the tombstone on the Arkansas River, and it is now in our History Commission building. So, you know, Dogtown had its origins in, you know, just scuzz or whatever. And now look at it today.
You've totally turned around.
Oh,
your love of dogs.
It's awesome. No, they always love dogs over here, but look at dogs today.
But you turned perceived negative into a
We owned it and made a great story from it.
You're wearing a Dogtown t-shirt.
I am wearing a Dogtown. I'm proud to be from Dogtown.
Over your shoulder is a Buddha that's actually a dog.
Yeah, with Dogtown. So we are all very, very proud of the heritage. We're very proud of being in Dogtown. And if y'all ever come through North Little Rock, check it out. I mean, it's the original deal.
That's really cool. You get along now with the Little Rock side?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. We always have. We've got a great relationship. As a matter of fact, I live in Little Rock. And but no, we have a wonderful relationship. And they have a wonderful relationship. We promote each other.
Yeah. Downtown North Little Rock is called Argenta.
Argenta.
To this day. And what I love about it, it's like a place out of time. I mean, that pharmacy downtown, probably on change from the 1920s.
Yeah. Now, what I've been told is that pharmacy is the oldest pharmacy west of the Mississippi.
Wow. That's really cool. All your businesses, they're ma and pa, family owned. You don't see corporate flag businesses downtown.
No, it's all locally owned. The cuisine down here is, we have everything from barbecue, which the family started the barbecue place, I think, in the 1930s, and it's still open today in existence.
It's, what's the name of that?
Lindsay's Barbecue. Excellent. They've got a matter of fact, the street next to me is called Bishop Lindsay, and he was an earlier bishop, preacher, and his son now runs it. And his grandchildren are in there with him. So it's a long heritage of great, great food.
Then you have a giant ballpark here.
Yeah, we do. The Travelers play in it. And
that's a semi-pro?
Yeah, and it's a
AAA
farm team, yeah. Uh-huh. It's called Dickie Stevens Field, and it's packed out every time that the Travelers play here.
That's really cool. And there, it's a complex over there, right? There's more than just a ball field.
It's a ball field, but it has food courts and, mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of, what do you call them, skyboxes and things like that. That's, yeah, it's a really cool place. And they do other events over there as well.
Like we talked about earlier, this is a riverfront town. You guys, you have a United States World War II submarine and a very famous, legendary World War II tugboat that are berthed and tied up right in Argenta. Waterfront.
Yes, both are on the Arkansas River, connected to a museum and a gift shop. Now, Tom, this is really cool. We have the only two vessels left that bookend World War II. We have the Hoga tugboat. Now, the Hoga was in Pearl Harbor the day it was bombed. In fact, that tugboat pushed the sinking Nevada out of the mouth of the harbor. If the Nevada had sunk in the mouth, the rest of the fleet would not have escaped. So that little tug took about 3 years off of the war alone. It is now a national landmark, and it's open for tours to go through it, and just like it probably was back in World War II.
It's a miracle it survived, isn't it?
It is a miracle. Yes, it's a miracle, and it's the only vessel, floating vessel left.
And post-World War II, as I recall, it saw service in the San Francisco Bay, right?
It was, yes. Matter of fact, it was in Oakland, California, uh-huh. Oakland Bay, and it served as a firefighter for, I guess, 20, 25, 30 years. Mm-hmm. And then they decided, well, we're going to just kind of put it back in retirement, and so it sat inactive for 15 years, and they said, well, what are we going to do with this?
Right. So, and how did it wind up coming here?
Well, we have some really progressive government here. Our mayor at that time could see these things actually being a benefit and a tourism attraction. So it took about 2 years to get from Oakland Bay through the Panama Canal mm-hmm. and up because of all the regulations of having to travel by sea through a different company, and it never went on its own power. It was put on a boat and brought up here.
And the submarine is the opposite end. The end of World War II has a illustrious history.
Oh, yes. The USS Razorback is not named after the Razorback Hog. It was christened in 1944 as the USS Razorback from the Razorback Whale, because in World War II, submarines were all named after fish. Well, the USS Razorback was in Tokyo Bay the day Japan surrendered. It's also the longest-serving submarine in the world. It served from 1944, I think, to 72 in our Navy. Then we sold it to the Turkish Navy, and they had it for another 30 years, and they were going to just scrap it. So the city fathers there again found out about it and said, well, why not have it here?
How did it physically get back here?
Well, it never came on its own power, even though this submarine, Tom, is a 90% functional submarine. And I think when you went through the other day, you saw locks and things on different things, because you don't want to pull the lever and we go to the bottom of the Arkansas River, which isn't that deep in the first place. But it was put on a boat, shipped up here, then by tug up the Mississippi to where we are.
And you still have a Turkish national flag flying.
We have. And at that time, the Turkish ambassador asked us if we would also fly their flag. And so we do it as kind of an honor to the Turkish sailors who sailed aboard.
And you still have a few World War II and post-World War II Navy submariners who make pilgrimages here.
Oh, man.
And you get to meet them and hear their stories.
Oh, yeah. That's really one of the most rewarding things, Tom. These guys, imagine, crew of 88, 11 officers, 2 months underwater, very little sunshine or anything, in tight quarters, hot, you know. Those sailors created such a bond with each other. I mean, they may have had a corporate job afterwards and all that. They all get back to their submarine service and their buddies in the sub. It's a very tight-knit group.
And you've learned a lot from them.
Yeah. Yeah, I have learned. Only time I ever saw a submarine was on, you know, movies or whatever. But I've learned a lot about the vessels. I've learned a lot about their language. I've learned to know what they like, what they appreciate. And that's really rewarding to hear their stories.
Before we go, a little bit more about Argenta and the north side of the river and why somebody should come here, what they would do and where you would stay.
Well, not only the Argenta part, but we've got different areas in North Little Rock. We're spread out. Well, for instance, we've got Burns Park, a 1,600-acre park. So if whatever sport you wanted to do, it's there. We have fun land for the children, the kids, or all these awesome, awesome pavilions. You want to go just have a big picnic and hang out. I'm not sure, but I think it's like the third largest park in the U.S.
Wow.
And so there we have other military museums at Camp Robinson and other things. A little bit trickier to get in, but we have those things. Mm-hmm. We've got awesome shopping here. And so it's spread out. We've got historic Park Hill. That's just a magnificent little place to visit with some quaint restaurants in there. And we have Levy. Now, Levy is so cool. It's a big area where there's a lot of Hispanic restaurants. And when I'm talking about a Hispanic restaurant, they can be from South America. They can be from Brazil. They can be from Mexico. They can be from Guatemala. They can be from all over. I often go up there and get tacos for lunch and things because it's just incredible food.
That's really cool. So you're spoiled.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm in spoiled just because I can look out my office window and see the trolley go by every day. The trolleys that we have are a replica of the 1920 Bernie car. Those suckers, I mean, they are on tracks. They run on electricity on a 3.5 mile track here, and then over to Little Rock and back. I took my grandkids on not too long ago, and they just loved it. I mean, I felt like I was in San Francisco. I felt like I was in a flat San Francisco.
Yeah. Another cool bonus for visitors and locals, it's free.
It's free. Now, that's a heck of a deal.
Yeah.
You get this experience of seeing historic sides of both sides of the river free, stop and get off. And what's really cool, the drivers of the trolley are tour guides themselves. So it's not some guy saying, okay, 4th and Maple, you're off. Right. You know, you they learn a lot.
Yeah, that's really cool. Well, I could hang out with you all day, Scott, but I got to move on.
Well, Tom, I really thank you, and I'm very honored to be able to do this for you.
No, it's my pleasure. So, Scott, if somebody wanted to learn more about your world, where would you direct them?
Well, we can go to our website, which is northlittlerock.org. It's a wealth of information. Or email me at scott@northlittlerock.org. And my name is Scott Suddeth, Vice President of Tourism for the North Little Rock Convention Visitors Bureau.
Thanks, Scott. I appreciate it. Great day.
Thank you, Tom.
You're welcome. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from North Little Rock, Arkansas. We'll see you here.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway. With a focus on rural communities, such as Leaper's Fork, not far from Nashville, the Big Backyard journey traverses through Tennessee's southwest quarter, down into Alabama's legendary Shoals region, the mothership of American music. The featured rural community's common thread is historic architecture and a timeless, charming small-town atmosphere, some with a river running through it. The diverse attractions of the featured communities include the amazing Elephant Sanctuary in Hohenwald, where retired circus elephants come to retire in peace, and iconic destinations like Northern Alabama's Shoals region, where you'll find one of America's most iconic Frank Lloyd Wright homes and two of America's legendary recording studios that have been etching American soundtracks since the early 1960s. For example, Muscle Shoals Sound Studios in Sheffield, Alabama, opened in 1969, instantly started marking up the charts with number one hits by recording artists like the Rolling Stones, Willie Nelson, Wilson Pickett, Linda Ronstadt, Rod Stewart, and Paul Simon. Nashville's Big Backyard's ardent promoters include Mike Wolfe, host of History Channel's American Pickers TV series, who provides a surgical contextual lens focused on Nashville's Big Backyard's diverse initiatives, and Liz McLaurin, president of the Land Trust for Tennessee, an equally passionate supporter of Nashville's Big Backyard's greater good elements through the Land Trust Preservation Initiatives. To learn more about the program, log on to nashvillesbigbackyard.org.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.